And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton on the FM dial and the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. And our program here, our mission is to bring you the news that the corporate media isn't giving you, and we have an exceptional opportunity to do that today. This is a very special, very quickly arranged, unscheduled broadcast because of the urgency of the news about the special events that are unfolding in Quebec at this time. And we have Paulo Philpott with us. He is an organizer. He has been helping organize these student mobilizations, large demonstrations. He's not a student at this time, but what he has been doing is contributing to the actions and the activities that we have been seeing in Montreal and throughout Quebec. And so we're very honored to have him on the program today. Except we just need to flip a couple switches here. So stay with us, and we'll have Paulo in just a moment. And as promised, we have Paulo Philpott joining us by phone from Quebec. So, Paulo, again, thanks for taking your time to be on the program today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for receiving me.
It's our pleasure. Again, there are not enough voices coming from Quebec when we have news on this program. It's just a small selection, and we want to talk to someone who's been involved in the organizing on the ground. It's very exciting. You had pointed out to me before the interview that you're not a student presently, but you have been involved in the organizing. And I think that really showcases one of the important elements of these demonstrations, which is their multifaceted nature. They are composed of students at the university level, students at the high school level, parents of high school students, professors, high school level or elementary level teachers, and others. It's quite a coalition you've managed to assemble. I mean, did I catch everyone? Who else is involved in these massive efforts in Quebec?
Well, I think there's people from all sections of the society that are involved right now. It all started off being more of a debate around numbers last fall, and everyone was sort of waiting to see if the students were mobilized enough, if they were going to mobilize to oppose themselves to this increase of tuition fees. And, I mean, it was, as it went on, it became a coalition larger and larger. And today it seems as if it's becoming a larger movement with a larger, the arguments have been larger and farther than the only numbers and the increase of tuition. And I say a lot of unions are in the movement. I was a student 3 years ago, and at the beginning I was really, the chance not to have an accessible university. And that's one of the reasons I went to it. And this 75% increase, of course, I thought wasn't legitimate and should be contest. But the first who had to lead and start this movement had to be the students. And they came out really, really strong. And after that, it seemed like people started to give them a hand because they were so mobilized, and they such a nice movement, creative, and they made the demonstration with good arguments that there was another way to go instead of raising the tuition fees this much. And when we saw the government, actually the Charest government, not moving and not wanting to negotiate, not even wanting to sit down with the federations, that's when I'd say the rest of the society came in the debate and tried to give them a hand. And that's where, and now we're starting to have really a larger movement. And
Well, you've pointed out something really important here, because you've said that you had been involved in years previously in these organizing efforts. So it's not something that just happened all of a sudden. It's not something that unfolded instantly, but rather it's the product of the efforts by organizers such as yourself and others in many campaigns that go back several years in Quebec. I think one of the icons of the movement at present is the Red Square. the patch, and there's been some mention of that, but you need to go to the website almost to learn about it. What is the significance of the Red Square? What is it made of? How do you even get one?
Well, actually, it started off in the strike in 2005. Even prior to that, we had a big strike in 2005 here, and that's where people really started to wear the red stripe. But it was quite large, the strike and the movement in 2005. But this time it's a lot stronger, and one of the reasons why it's so much stronger is the strategy of the government at that time in 2005, the same government, was to divide the student movement, and because there's three federations, and they managed to divide the movement, and you divide the movement and becomes a lot less strong, and that's how they managed to get along with two out of three federations for not much. They gave not much, and so the movement broke at that time. But I think that's when everything started, because a lot of people that were in that movement in 2005 remember the mistake that was made. And so this time was the key to why still at this point the movement is still so strong after 14 weeks of strike, is that the three federations and all the society are really they showed a lot of solidarity and union. And but the question was the Red Square. But and the thing is, today a lot of people, parents, even elder people, wear the Red Square. It hasn't only become the student movement. It's really in opposition today. It has become the symbol of the opposition to the government in place and to the ideology that this government is promoting.
Yes, and you certainly learned about the importance of solidarity, and it's had an effect here in Ontario as well. You'll see students at York University, other places in Toronto, McMaster University, some unions, locals in Ontario, proudly sporting a very similar insignia. And that's gone back several years, maybe 2009 in York with the student efforts there, because of the mobilization drive that has been going on in Quebec and between Quebec and students in other provinces. And it's my understanding, too, that the square, being a red square, it refers also to being squarely in the red, being squarely in debt, in reference to the massive student debt that's been acquired. But certainly bringing those federations together, or bringing the students together in one effort, was very important. Divide and conquer has been a strategy of the English, of the Canadian government, for some time. And the way that this issue is being reported on is very questionable here in Ontario, in English Canada. There had been almost a blackout, a suppression of the story, and I knew people in my province, in my hometown, who did not know about the Quebec student strikes until late in April. Otherwise, they were not aware of it. And when our newspapers started reporting on it, at times they were trying to pour cold water on it, trying to say it was over and that there was no enthusiasm. So when there was that temporary truce, that discussion that was occurring a couple of weeks ago, there were at least two articles reproduced here in Hamilton saying that it was over, that the energy has dissipated. But, of course, statements like this turn out not to be the case.
No. Since the beginning, even here in Quebec, they tried to discredit the movement and trying to say it wasn't really strong, and the students weren't mobilized. Young people, all the youngsters of our society, weren't mobilized, and it wasn't important for them. Since the beginning, has been the case, and even the government, the media, have been nothing was happening. It seemed for them nothing was happening. They didn't take it seriously. And I think after one of the breakpoints where we realized that this movement was stronger than ever, is that after the 22nd of April, where we had this historic protest in the Montreal streets, where over 200,000 people walked in Montreal streets. We hadn't seen that for, I think it was the biggest protest in the history of Quebec. And this was a really turning, a big turning point, because I think the government thought after this, if the government didn't move, they thought their bet was that the movement would start weakening very fast.
Yes,
after that
is what they were hoping. I think many of the newspapers, the commentary you see, are the hopes and expectations of the government. So, for example, we were being told on April 20th, the CBC suggested that the strike was leading to more support for the provincial government, for Charest, people turning against the students. And the Globe and Mail said that cracks were starting to show in the Quebec student solidarity. This was weeks ago as well. So I think you're getting the ambitions of the government and the administrators when this is being reported on.
Yeah. Well, and the number is, there's maybe around 400,000 students in Cégep and University in Quebec. And the number, which was really important when they, it was 200,000 students on strike. We had 300,000 students on strike the day of the protest, the 22nd of April. And I mean, but it maintained around 200,000 since that time. Today we're mid-May, so it's over a month later. And the thing is, the government hasn't moved, and the students feel their cause is just, and they feel a lot of people are with them, and they feel they have a strong have some power here, because the momentum, I don't know if it's a word in English, the momentum is very strong right now. So they know they can. They thought the victory was very close, so that's why they never let go. But what we're seeing now is the media trying to, I would say, give a bad impression of all these strikes, because after the protest of 22nd of April, we had a historic protest. It was pacific. No, nothing broke that day. Everyone was really had in mind that we only by walking the streets, if we're a large number, the government will move. After that, nothing happened, and so the strategy changed, and they said we're going to try to go in to do some désobéissance civile, we say in French, where some small groups go and try to block some symbols of the economy, because the only language the government wants to speak right now is the language of money. So
yes.
The students said we have to our actions have to be oriented in that way.
Yes.
So, but there was we talk about a lot about violence. I think this movement has proven that it was very pacific, but the repression of the police was very, very strong, and it has become a lot stronger. And at some point, images that were really strong, where you had some people protesting very pacifically, and some students were injured very severely. And I think these videos went all around the world, and maybe probably you saw them in your provinces, and that's what I think. At that moment, I think people outside of Quebec started talking about this movement.
Yes, I think at that time the government in Quebec and in the rest of Canada found out a lot about its citizens there. The students in Quebec had promised to innovate, to come up with new strategies, mm-hmm. economic disruption, bridges, and going to certain symbols, as you have now done. So you've made good on those promises. They were true. And these actions continue. So that is very inspiring. The response by the state has been, on the other hand, depressing. The police presence is actually more massive and significant than has been reported. You can see the photos and videos of the riot police. It looks like they've sent in the military, even though they have not. It's like something out of a film like Brazil. heavily armed police. I understand there have been some serious injuries, and that's on the part of the students. I think two students have perhaps lost an eye. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. At least one has lost his eye. One is severely injured. And after the protest, there was this Congress of the Liberal Party in Quebec in Victoriaville, and it went in the wrong way, and the police officers are using guns with plastic balls, plastic munitions, big, and they're shooting this at students, anyone, and some receive them in the head, and two for 24 hours were between life and death, and we didn't know. So, I mean,
and this is,
could have died.
Yes, this is just for protesting, for being part of a very popular, large action.
The government keeps on saying that violence has to be denounced by the students, but he never talks about the violence, the repression of the policemen. It seems like if the government right now has a mission, and it's to break down this movement. And that's when I say it's larger than, because this movement has become an answer to all the neoliberalism in North America and the world. And lots of people are in the streets right now, and it's an answer to this ideology.
Yes, that's a very important thing that the listeners need to be aware of, that I think you're bringing about very clearly. And that is, this movement is about opposing an idea, opposing a system where people have to pay for everything, where they have to get into debt for everything. They're expected to match the demands of the system to their own lives, and use education as a gamble, as an accumulation of capital, an investment which they hope will pay off. Quebec has had one of the less onerous tuition systems, and you're fighting to preserve and advance the goals that had been outlined earlier. So that's exciting. That's inspiring. It's difficult to talk about in English Canada and perhaps in Quebec. You've mentioned some of the difficulties with the government and the media to some extent. What's it like over there in terms of the media discussion? You have large newspapers and radio programs, television. Is it divided? Do you think it's one-sided?
Well, it's a very big problem in Quebec, the media question, because there's a lot of the media is owned by two big businessmen that are Pierre-Carl Péladeau and Desmarais, which have Power Corporation, and Québécois Media, and they own a big part of the media in Quebec. So the media coverage has been pretty bad, actually, since the beginning. And especially, I would say, Le Journal de Montréal and Québécois, but La Presse, also, and they have been trying to portray the student movement as a violent movement, students that just don't want to go to school and are lazy and all that, and they have money and have cell phones, so they should be able, they should cut on the cell phones and on the outings to be able to pay the university fees, tuition, which is simplifying the debate so much. The arguments of the student movement go way beyond this, and the answer of the media is simplifying all this. And a large part of the population in Quebec only refers to these two medias. So it seems as if the support of the population has been going down since the past few weeks, and I think fundamentally they would support their own students, but the image that has been given by all is so not representative of the reality.
Yes,
and I think that's too bad. So
you would think that it's not just supporting the students, but supporting the young, supporting the next generations, because that's what the struggle is really about. People don't want to become indentured servants. They don't want to be in debt forever. They want to have more choices. This is what the protest is about. And I know La Presse, for example, I understand the chief editorial writer there came out against the strike. So there are these difficulties that you're facing. But just getting news on these subjects can be a challenge. There has been the resignation of the minister responsible, for example, and I'm sure that's being portrayed a number of different ways. What's your take on that resignation?
Well, actually, I think there was division in the Liberal Party. Some were wanted the hard way, and some were a bit more, preferred the compromise. And Lynn Beauchamp, we heard in the Liberal Party, was one of the most moderated ministers. And I think it's badly, it's the capitulation of the part of the party that was a bit more moderate. And what I think, it's not a capitulation of the minister. I think just the government, the Liberal Party, are going to go and try to become stronger, and the repression will be stronger. They were talking today about voting a special law to force everyone back to school. And I mean, we haven't seen these type of laws since the 50s. It's going back in time where they say the student and the university democracy doesn't exist anymore. We don't respect it. And we say everyone has to go back in school, and if they don't, they get very severe penalties. And it could led place to a lot of repression and violence. So they chose, if this law is voted, and that's what we're going to see today, I mean, the government chose the hard way and the repression way to resolve this conflict.
I understand there were even some commentators in Quebec that suggested bringing dictatorial methods and measures like fascist governments did in the 1920s and 1930s.
Yes, we heard this article, which a guy from the ministry wrote, and he said the people that are against the strike should be inspired by the fascist movement in the 30s in Europe, where people gangs would just go through and intimidate and just break physically all these. The movement in the streets, so that it's a bit scary how this conflict is going, and I think people should try to open up their eyes a bit more about what's going on here, because people are starting to talk about fascist ways right now, where the repression is becoming stronger and stronger, and they voted a law which will interdict. People were The policemen were using a lot of pepper for the eyes,
yes,
Cayenne,
yes.
Poivre de Cayenne. So people would wear glasses so their eyes wouldn't burn, and put some stuff on their face. And the Montreal mayor was talking about is trying to vote a law to banish masks in the streets. And that's liberty of the people that is attained here, and it's a bit scary. It's a bit scary. We should really. It's an issue that everyone in the world should start to look at a little bit more carefully right now.
Yes, it's been become a testing ground for our elite, for our 1%, as how they might deal with these kind of demonstrations. You have one big successful demonstration, and all of a sudden they start talking about fascism and repressing people. So that's unfortunate. It's like you have the G20 every day over there.
Yeah, exactly. We just saw the G20. They said the policemen. Everyone knows what happened there, and we have every day there's a demonstration here in Quebec. Every night there has been repressions, and they say that the demonstration becomes illegal, and once they say they are illegal, they can hit and start dispersing all the protesters, and I mean, exactly, it's become almost a usual thing here. Every day we see policemen in the streets and hitting on students, and we see images of this every night in the news. It's quite...
And we've seen the peaceful nature of the protesters in many photo and video segments. So we don't want to get too fixated on those negative aspects. Overall, it's been such a success. That's why it's attracted this kind of attention. And I think many students are looking towards the example of Quebec. If you read, especially not just what's happening in Occupy and in New York and in other cities in the United States, but also the sheer number of articles about student debt coming out of the United States and Canada right now, they're recognizing the problem. And you've drawn a lot of attention to that problem thanks to your efforts. So I know we have to get going, but it was great hearing from you and getting your perspective inside this matter. I know we're going to be seeing more about this, and you'll be learning about the government decision today. So we can keep in touch, stay tuned, and watch what you're doing. We can go to the CLASS website, CLASSE. We can watch the student action. So I want to thank you very much. I know you're involved in this right now and waiting on news. So thanks. We're going to hear from you, and we're going to hear from other activists in South Ontario on this program and other programs. So thanks very much for coming today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thanks to you.
Well, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is Paolo Philpott. And again, he is involved in organizing in Quebec and has been involved in prior efforts, the earlier mobilizations that led to this. Big things going on. You want to make sure you want to understand what's happening in this country. And in Quebec, check this out. There's a great variety of resources on the web about this. People are tuning in and looking to see what they can do in response. Great stuff. That's it for this week. Stay tuned next week, 5 o'clock Wednesdays here on 93.3 CFMU FM.